Alleluia. You know, when I come to an event, I pray over every seat, over every window, over every door, and I just pray for the manifest presence of the Lord to be here. The property is guarded. But what I know to be true is that prayers do not expire. Amen? And the prayers that have been prayed in this room, that I just want to kick some loose tonight. Do you know what I mean? They kind of settle, and you know they didn't get claimed. They didn't get spoken into existence. It wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right place. It wasn't the right person. I don't know. But what I do know is that the prayers have been prayed on this property, on this land, that I want to claim some this weekend. I want to kick some of those loose. And that's what we're talking about tonight, being rooted in prayer. Just being rooted in prayer. We know we're grafted in, that God's got us. There's nothing you can do that would make him stop loving you. And then we also know that we are supposed to take that love, receive it, and then spread our branches and provide shelter for others, favor, wisdom, compliments, blessing, whatever that is. We're supposed to praise, pass that along to others. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. But before we get started on that, I just want to do a little bit of housekeeping. On your chair, there's a claim check. I am a storyteller, and every Sunday I share a short story via email, something that God has done or is in doing in my life, and something that I have learned that I think will help you. If you would like stories or devotionals, whatever you want to call them, from me, just fill your name out and your email, and pass those to the center. That would be fantastic. The other housekeeping thing is that Dave is closing up shop. If you haven't gotten the Widow War Pink and you still want it, make sure you get it by the time you go off to your small groups tonight, because they will not be here tomorrow. So, prayer. When I first started going to church, I sat in this Bible study with these ladies who came with the building, you know? And when they prayed, I thought, who talks like that? Oh, Heavenly Father, we graciously accept your blessings. And then there were other ones that would be so bold. And I just thought, how do you learn to pray like that? I actually kind of peeked to see if they were reading something, because I thought, nobody talks like that. And I really wanted to, but like many of you, maybe I was afraid to open my mouth and pray out loud, because I thought, what if I do it wrong? I am a recovering perfectionist, and I didn't want to do it wrong. Who likes doing things wrong? There are those who do, because that's how you learn. You're never good at anything. You got to practice your way into expertise. But I was afraid of doing it wrong. So I thought, what am I going to do? Well, I thought, well, I know. Hey, Mickey, can I have a few more house lights up here, please? So I thought, I'm going to find the oldest, grayest lady in the building, and I am going to ask her how to pray, because I figured she'd either be nice to me or forget that I asked. And I said, it's a little confusing to me. First of all, I don't know who to pray to, because I know there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you pray to Son, does the Father get annoyed? And if you pray to Holy Spirit, is that legit? Is that a real person of God? Is that the whole person of God? I didn't know. And so I asked, who do I pray to? Because I didn't want to get struck by lightning, right? And what she said, you might already know, is that what one person of God knows, they all know. And that it didn't matter who I prayed to. We touched on that this morning. Whatever person of God that you feel most comfortable with. I know that my kids came home from playgrounds and they had tall tales of Bobby Joe was mean to me on the playground, and so I told him he better knock it off or I was going to call my dad. And Bobby Joe said, well, my dad can beat your dad up. And my kids said, no, my dad's bigger than your dad. Well, our dad is the biggest dad. So maybe sometimes you're in a situation where you just need dad to show up and settle some stuff. So I pray to Father. Sometimes it's good, it's just easy, and it's conversational, and I just pray to Jesus, and sometimes it's a season, and you just hardly have words, so you ask Holy Spirit to pray for you. So I said, who do I pray for? Who do I pray to, and what do I say? And she said, well, there's lots of ways to pray. You pray to whomever, whichever person of God that you're most comfortable with. But what I would suggest, if you're first starting out praying out loud or praying in general, is to use a memorized prayer. And I thought, oh, that's a pretty good idea. I didn't know any, but she taught me the Serenity Prayer. And she taught me the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, you know, the whole Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love that part, on earth as it is in heaven. I really like the let's just do here what you're going to do there part. Forgive us our sins as we have trespassed against others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yes, a lot more of that, delivering me from evil, please. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I did like that. And I said that out loud for a couple of years. Just that's what I would pray. When I got into a small group, that was my deal. That was my contribution. And no one ever criticized me. They just thought I was novel. I didn't know how to do anything else. So I just said the Lord's Prayer. You can say the Lord's Prayer. When I'm at home, I will often say the 23rd Psalm out loud because it covers all the things. I love how David is always running for his life, trying to kill somebody else, covering up what he did, begging for forgiveness. You know, and praising the Lord the whole time. So you could memorize the 23rd Psalm if you're not a really, really comfortable with praying out loud. The thing is, it doesn't really matter if you mumble or muff it up, because God knows your intention. What you meant to say is already translated into God language. But it's for us that we pray. We pray, and the more I get rooted in prayer, the bigger, the bolder, and the more specific my prayers are. Because I think I would never say that God gets like, oh, yawn, here's that, oh, bless me for today again prayer. I would never say that out loud. But I wonder if God doesn't love it when we throw down a prayer that is so big and so audacious and so specific that if it comes to pass, the only reasonable explanation is that there is a God in heaven. When you can bring fresh testimony out of an answered prayer because there's no other explanation for it, you double dip. You get your prayers answered. You connect to the heavens, and you glorify God with this fresh testimony. So I'm big on bold, specific prayers, and I think that God likes that. I think he really enjoys that. But until you get to that point where you're brave enough to pray out loud a big, bold, specific prayer, I can teach you a model that I learned in the nursery. I was in the Bible study, and I was very frustrated because I felt really stupid, and I didn't want to pray out loud. And we got to the point, we were about halfway through the lesson, and somebody stuck their head in our small group door and said, we need help in the nursery. Is there anybody who can help? And I'm like, I'll go. I'll go, just so that I could get out of the out loud prayers. So I go, and they're just praying. The kids are praying. I'm like, Lord, you're so funny. Does God ever affirm, listen, I'm going to get you this. This is for you. This is something you need. No matter where you run, there it will be. So, but they were using what they called the STP prayer model. For little boogans, for little kids, it was say you're sorry, say thank you, say please. Sorry, thank you, please, STP. It was the first conversational prayer model that I could actually manage because there wasn't any of that, ooh, Heavenly Father stuff in it. It was just, hey, sorry about that thing I did. It taught the little guys to keep a clean slate. What I know about confession, and we're going to get to that in a minute, is that what keeps heaven from answering is you knocking. If Tasha and I, have a moment, I am not going to go out of my way to go find her. Like, if I know she's going to sit here at church, here I am, right? When you have an offense with somebody, when you've got your underwear in a bunch, you don't go out of your way to find them. You don't call them. You kind of avoid the day that they go to the gym. You're not going out of your way. And so when you are offended by something that God has done, allowed, not done, you're the one who's creating the chasm. He's right there. He's right there, like the father in Luke something, the prodigal father. And he is right there, looking for you, waiting for you. Turn your face to him so that he can run to meet you halfway. So little kids need to learn that, keep a short account. And they had to confess it out loud because they're little. How much trouble can they get in? So I thought, well, that's pretty good. I can say, sorry, keeping a clean slate. Thank you for all the things. And please, can I have something new? There's this childlikeness that is so sweet that anybody can do. Who would rather drink arsenic than pray out loud? Yeah, just a couple of you. That's good news. Oh, some that's like, no, I'm not going to say that. She's going to call on me. She could call on me. But when you are rooted in prayer, when you become someone who is known for her big, bold, specific prayers, and you're known for them because sometimes God agrees with you, and so you start bragging about who God is, suddenly you are the go-to person. People want you to pray for them. So two things I need to remember. Remind me about the covenant. Okay, so the first thing is when you become known for your praying and you enter menopause, you are going to become fiery for the Lord. I mean, there is just heat that you didn't even think was possible and to live through. There is this thing that happens. Can I get an amen from my menopausal women? Yeah. So when that started happening to me, it's just so fun. You think menstruating is bad. Just wait. It's just the bomb. So I decided that every time I had a hot flash, that I was going to claim it for the Lord. It's like, I'm on fire for Jesus. And at my office, I would say, I am having a hot flash. Clearly the Lord is on me. Who needs prayer? It only took about 2 weeks before people were saying, can I have your hot flashes today? Would you pray for me if you get a hot flash today? Listen, I'm in kind of a pickle. I could really use prayer. If you get a hot flash today. So effective was this claiming what curse on my life came through the original sin was that I stopped having hot flashes. I mean, I would get them once in a while, but they weren't nearly as nuclear or as frequent because it felt like, forget her, I can't even annoy her, right? So use your power to pray to affect influence. This is another thing that we talked about this morning. You can use prayer as a way to branch out, to provide shelter, to become someone who blesses others. Now, this is very common in Christian language. I hear this all the time. Robin, just pray for me. Just keep me in your prayers. I'm like, no, I can't do that. I'll pray for you now. And because I take it seriously. I'm still praying for people. Before I figured this out, I'm still praying for people 20 years ago that asked me to pray for them to get a spouse. They're probably married or dead by now, but I don't know. So I have to keep praying for them. When you promise, when you agree, you make a covenant to pray for someone, you got to do it. Otherwise, you're the one in sin. So this is what you do. If somebody says, oh, keep me in your prayers, or oh, please pray for me, you decide, do I love you enough to pick up that baton for you? Or are you someone that I need to pray for right now and then encourage you to find someone else who loves you enough to pray for you on a regular basis? There are people that their names are on my bathroom mirror in pink lipstick because I am going to storm the gates of heaven until I get an answer, or they die, or I die. But I can't do that for every single person who asks me to pray for them. So I pray right now, and then I say, if it's something big, I'll say, look, I'm happy to pray for you. LaCynthia, I will pray for you, but you have to email me every week and give me an account. Are we making progress? Has it been answered? Has there been a shift? Are we still praying for the same thing? Or are we on to something else? Has it morphed? Has it moved? Has it changed? Now what? When we become women who are rooted in prayer, people will want, because they think that we have some special connection to heaven. We don't. We are all equal. God loves us all the same, and he listens to us all the same. Some are more, are knocking more. Who has one kid that just is a pest and gets more than the other kid just because the other kid is more complacent besides me? I mean, I do. I got one kid. He was just so annoying. He got more stuff than his brother just because it's like, fine, just be quiet. And I'm not saying that God, you can wear God out like a kid can wear a mama out, but still, we pray, and then we become known for our prayers, so we have to be careful not to fall into sin by saying we're going to pray and not pray, and not let them take advantage of our prayers, because they got to do some work too. It's like each of you putting a leg in the bag and walking together. She got to keep in touch with you so that you keep informed, and you'll do the praying. And so when people pray, I have lists. I have the Monday list, and that's for ministry people. I got the Tuesday list, that's for my Bible study girls. I got the Wednesday list, that's for family. I don't know why. I think it's from Awana days when we all go to church for dinner, and you know, that would be family night. Thursday night is for friends, and Friday and Saturday is for sickies and feebles, and Sundays, whatever the Lord lays on my heart. And I keep a list, and then I've got those people on my bathroom mirror that I pray for every day. Don't forget to pray. If you say you're going to pray, don't forget to pray. The thing is, words don't matter so much. You can use any kind of prayer model that you want, but just decide that this is a prayer, that to be rooted in prayer, it's a discipline. You just have to start. Now, I exercise every 5 or 6 years, whether I need to or not. And the last time I tried to exercise, I bought a DVD, that's how long ago it was, at the store. It was 20-minute routine, put the thing in, and this blonde Jillian Michaels, she's barking at the TV and out of the TV, and she says, "All right, we're going to do some warm-ups," and I'm feeling like, see, I hardly need this. This is so simple. I'm just, you know, I'm just doing the things. I'm like, I could probably go another 5 or 6 years because, you know, I'm just so limber. And then she says, "Okay, now we're going to do a little cardio." And I'm like, "Okay, pace yourself, you know." She says, "We're going to do jumping jacks." So I'm like, "Okay, just not overdoing it because, you know, we don't want to hurt ourselves." And so I'm doing my little jumping jacks and my modified version, you know. And from the TV, bossy Jillian yells, "Hey, hey, hey, there's no modifications for jumping jacks. I have 400-pound people who can do jumping jacks. Now, I want to see some jumping jacks." And I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh." Except it had been so long since I exercised, I forgot to tuck anything. And so all the blub here was like, "What, what, what?" And all the blub back here was going, and all the things in here were going, "Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh." And I thought, something is going to come right out of here, and I'm going to have to scoop it up and go to the doctor and have them put it back in. That's what it feels like for some of you when you start praying. Like, this is so ugly. I just can't even. But I kept doing that dumb DVD, and after a couple of weeks, I was just chugging right along and doing my jumping jacks and the whole business. Because it takes practice to get good at anything. And that includes prayer. So you have to just decide that you're going to be a woman who's a prayer. You're just going to decide, "I'm going to be rooted in prayer," because that's where the power is. The prayer isn't powerful. The power is in the God, right? So I'm going to teach you or review a prayer model that works so splendiferously. It's called the ACTS prayer model. A-C-T-S. ACTS stands for, the A in ACTS stands for adoration. Another way is worship. The first thing, God created us to worship him. So the first thing we do is we worship him. We praise him. And he likes it. Now, praise is acknowledging who he is. Thanks is what he's done. So praise is only who he is. We praise him by name. We praise him by characteristic. We praise him by quality. So we say things like, "I'm very structured. I have all my spices are alphabetized. All my clothes are color-coded by sleeve length. All the coins in my car are heads up facing the windshield." So when I pray, it's in alphabetical order because it's a system that I can manage. Sometimes I'll just write. I'll set a timer and I'll just write for a minute. "I praise you, Lord, because you are." But most of the time, I praise out loud. And we're going to learn this tonight, praising versus thanks. So we praise him by name. What are some of, just in your head, think of three names of God. Father, friend, Jesus, creator, shepherd, right? So if you got them, you got your three names of God. Who's got their three names of God? This side is asleep. Who's got their three names of God? Come on, people. All right, so we're going to praise him for who he is. Because God, Psalm 22:3 says, God inhabits the praise of his people. Who wants God living in their house? Me, I do. Me, I do. So I want to praise him. So we are going to learn to praise him. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God, because you are king. So I do it in alphabetical order. Praise you, Father, because you are Abba. You are awesome. You are amazing. Praise you because you are beautiful and you are benevolent and you are caring and you are concerned and you are dependable and you are deliverer and you are Elohim and you are excellent and you are Father and you are faithful and you are good and you are grand and gracious and you are holy and you are important and omnipotent. And you are, okay, if you got it. So what I'd like you to do is just get in a little circle of three or four or two or whatever and just popcorn back and forth just for a minute. I praise you because you are creator. I praise you. And you don't have to do it in alphabetical order, just whatever pops into your mind. But it's important that we learn to praise God because he likes it and he inhabits the praise of his people. And we want him living in our house. So let's just take 1 minute and quick, popcorn back and forth like you three and you six and you six. And, you know, just quick. I praise you, Father, because you are... I praise you because you are. I praise you because.
My helper.
Yes.
Jehovah Jireh. Elohim.
Trustworthy.
Counselor.
Keep going. That row's winning. That row's killing it. Got it?
Alpha and Omega is the beginning and the end. His first word is the last word. He's my protector. He's my guide. He's my comfort. He's my keeper. Because he's so good. That's what happens. You can't pass adoration sometimes.
I am loving it. This is what heaven sounds like. This is what heaven sounds like when the praises are raising and all the angels are holy, holy, holying and all the tribes of Judah are bowing and worshiping. This is what heaven feels like. We just got a little soundbite of heaven. How awesome is that? When we praise God, he listens. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right, so then the C, confession. Blah, blah, blah. But we want to keep a clean slate. We want to keep a clean slate because confession, Psalm 32, 5, says, I acknowledge my sin to you, O Lord. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive me, and you purify me of my guilt. Whatever verse you use, we know that we have to keep a clean slate, Psalm 32, 5. So we confess specifically, we confess out loud, and it's for us. So quick story. I was driving through the Krispy Kreme. Are you knowing Krispy Kreme? Yeah. Little circles of deliciousness. I'm driving through the Krispy Kreme. I've got a coupon. I'm probably expired. But I don't care because I want the donuts. And so I pitch a hissy, and I get what I want, and I drive away from the... I'm telling you a story about confession. What did you think was going to happen here? So I drive away from the drive-thru with my boxes of yummies, and my kid, who's next to me, goes, Mom, you were so rude. I'm like... I said, buddy, I am so sorry. You know... I would hate it if you acted like that. So will you forgive me? And he goes, of course I will. That was really mean. I'm like, got it. And so we're driving. He's eating donuts. And I'm saying to the Lord, oh, I don't want to be that girl. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I hear, go back and say you're sorry. And I'm like, not gonna. You know, the store is disappearing in the rearview mirror. I got places to be. It's inconvenient. I'm going. 3 days. Yeah, 3 days. The pressure from heaven's on me. Now, maybe you can live with a lot of guilt. I used to be able to. I'm not that strong anymore. So finally, I go to the Krispy Kreme, and I walk in the building, and I say, hey, is Rose here? And they say, yeah, she's here. So Rose comes over to the counter, and I say, hey, I don't know if you remember me. I came through the drive-thru 3 days ago. I was a really word that rhymes with witch, and I just came to say I'm sorry. And she looked at me, you know how they do? She goes, I don't remember you. I'm like, marvelous. So I said, well, nevertheless, I felt convicted to come and tell you that I'm sorry and ask you to forgive me. And she goes, it doesn't matter. And I say, no, really, it does matter. She goes, I said, will you forgive me? She goes, whatever. And she turns around and walks away from me. It wasn't for her. I mean, I would like you to know, the story should go, and she forgave me and fell on her knees and said yes to Jesus, and here we are, you know, the queen of evangelism. That's not what happened. Because me going to apologize and ask her to forgive me wasn't about her. Who knows, maybe I sprinkled a little fairy dust. I don't know, heaven dust. It was for me. I'm not supposed to treat people like that. I can't represent Jesus when I act like that. And I got called out on it. So I confessed it, but sometimes you got to go make things right too. So just be prepared. So normally I would give you a minute to confess, and I'll give you 10 seconds because I'm short on time, and I know you've already kept a short account. Jesus, Holy Spirit, remind us of anything that would keep an obstacle between you and me. Bring it to my attention so that I can say, I want freedom from that. Forgive me so that I can forgive myself. Amen. So A is adoration, worship, praise. 2, C is confession. 3 is thanksgiving. Lots of verses in the Bible. We praise him with thanksgiving. We glorify the Lord with thanksgiving. Psalm 69 is a good one that I really like. And you think you're a thankful, who thinks they're a thankful person? Most of us, right? We're pretty thankful. But what if I asked you to stand up and shout out the top 12 things you were thankful for right now? I mean, you saw how hard it was just to list 10 kinds of ice cream and MLBs or whatever those were, right? So let's talk about, unless you've got 12 kids, how quickly can you come up with 12 things you're thankful for? Thank you, Jesus, for the color of green. Thank you for the smell of cut grass. Thank you for the taste of raspberries. Thank you for electric curlers. Thank you for the country that allows women to vote and to read and to go to school. Thank you, Lord, that I was born into my family of origin. Thank you for any health that I have. Thank you that I have a home that doesn't fall down around my ears. Thank you for protection from Hurricane Ian. I mean, turn to somebody next to you and rattle off your top 7. Go. Alrighty. What's your first name? Allie's got 25. We're done here. Boom. Great. It takes a little practice to have to recite. Now, you can recite 20 things that you're thankful for. One thing I do is I set a timer in the morning and I just journal 25 things that I'm thankful for, or a minute of thankfulness, or I will tag with Mr. Forever and we'll go back and forth for a couple of minutes. praised him for who he is. Keep a clean slate so there's no obstacle between you. Thank him for what he does, what he provides, what he has already done. Because S is supplication. Supplication means please. And this is really interesting thing that I've learned in the last couple years is that when we pray, St. Augustine says you pray like it depends on God, and you work like it depends on you. Sometimes he parts the Red Sea, sometimes he says, get into the water and then I'll make the Jordan stop flowing. Maybe you're Moses and things just part for you and everything goes great, but a lot of us are Joshuas and we've got to contend for those prayers. We've got to do our part. So when we ask for supplication, we've got to remember a couple of things, not to take up an offense with God just because we don't get what we want when we want it, right? Resistance is not the absence of God's approval. Sometimes you're going to go through things because you need to learn a lesson or because he's using you as an object lesson for someone else. Or there's a flaw in your character that needs to be chipped away. Resistance is not the absence of God's approval. So we can't pick up an offense when he doesn't answer for us or when he gives her every single thing she asks for and nothing for me. There's a girlfriend of mine and she wanted a baby so badly and everybody she prayed for, they were popping them out like rabbits. And she didn't get hers. And she celebrated every single baby that she prayed for. She did not pick up an offense, and it would have been easy, legitimized, honestly. You can see where she would have had the reason to. But we can't pick up an offense with God because we are not the boss of him. I always think, I already don't have it, why don't I ask? But if I don't get it, it's not going to ruin my faith. If I pray for you and the prayer doesn't come true, I got to believe that God can protect his own reputation with a person I prayed for. I'm not responsible for getting the prayers answered. He is. My job is to pray, contend, bang on the gates of heaven, and persist. But his job is to save, rescue, and protect. So one of the verses that I like real well about supplication is sometimes you just need provision. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his glory in Jesus. So Eli woke up one morning when he was about, I don't know, teenager, and nothing fit. Not his socks, not his underwear, not his pants, nothing fit. And it was like, wow, that was an amazing growth spurt, you know? And so we got him all the new things to wear, but he wasn't sleeping. He wasn't in a crib, but he was in one of those youth beds, you know? And all of a sudden, he wasn't getting good rest. And we took him to the doctor thinking, God, just give him medication, you know? But it was really, he wasn't sleeping. And it was affecting everything, his disposition, his homework, his everything. And the doctor had the wherewithal to say, what's he sleeping on? And we told him, and he's like, the kid needs a bigger bed. He's 6'2" and weighs 230 pounds. He can't sleep in a youth bed anymore. He's not at camp. No offense, Lindsay. So we're like, okay, so he tells us where to go. There's a mattress doctor, you know, and you take him with the prescription and you go to the mattress factory place and you go, okay, and they get all fitted. He tells them this is what he needs. He needs a queen size extra firm pillow top mattress. And I'm like, great, what's that going to cost? And he goes, $2,000. And I look at Dave and I go, do you like him that much right now? Because really, I just don't know if I want to spend $2,000 on that crabby kid. Well, we didn't have $2,000, the bottom line, to put into a mattress for a teenager. So we started praying like it depended on God, and we started working like it depended on us. All the sales, the Facebook marketplace, the Craigslist, the calling everybody we know, and for months, nothing, saving our money, making the calls, praying like it depends on us. On God and working like it depends on us. And then the oldest kid takes, he's working for two men in a truck. He takes a long distance haul. He gets to Chicago with this woman. She can't get all of her stuff into the condo. And so Jake calls us from Chicago and says, "Mom, you're not going to believe this. Lady has a queen size mattress that she has no room for. And I thought of Eli, do you want me to bring it home?" And I'm like, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." And I hang up, and he's on his way home, and I haven't asked all the questions, like the condition of the mattress. And all night I'm thinking, I'm going to get this piddle-stained, blue-flowered, bug-infested mattress that she didn't want in her new house. Nothing I could do. The next morning, Jake rolls up the driveway in his truck, and out of the truck comes the mattress. He brings it into the house. Girls, it was a queen-size, extra-firm pillow-top mattress with the plastic wrap still on it with the sticker of $2,000 from the mattress place that we had gone to, rolling into my house. Woo, woo, woo! Now, I don't get everything I ask for. But I ask for everything in a big, bold, specific prayer. I wanted a queen-size, pillow-top, extra-firm mattress, and we got it. Now, if we'd gotten a great deal on it at a store, same outcome. Ooh, ooh, ooh. We got to pray like it depends on God, work like it depends on us, and make them big and bold so when they happen, I mean, Eli is 30 now. He was 16 when this happens. I'm still telling the story because it's a great testimony, right? Do you know what? We're going to talk about this tomorrow. Do you know what testimony means? It means do it again, God. Do it again, God. Here's the atmosphere. I am speaking out what happened to me so that you can believe it will happen for you. So we ask for prayers, for supplication. We ask for provision. We ask for protection. My goodness, I've got one of my prayer team. I've got four women who pray for me. My name is on their bathroom mirror. And Deb emailed me and she said, "You aren't going to believe this." She said she has terrible eyesight, so she can only drive during the day. And it had been raining, so she couldn't get out, and she was eager to get to the bank, and finally there was some clearance in the weather. She gets in her car, and she realizes that she's super punctual, and she's going to get to the bank 5 or 6 minutes early, so she says, "I'm just going to go get yogurt and then go to the bank." And while she's in the store getting yogurt, the bank is robbed. But that morning, she had prayed, "Lord, I got to drive and the weather's not perfect and I just need your protection." And what she prayed for was protection in the car from an accident, but what she got was protection from being involved in a bank robbery. Big, bold, specific prayers for provision, for protection, for guidance. I've got a friend who... I was in this grief group after somebody died. It doesn't matter. And we were in this grief group, and there was this guy in it. I'm not going to marry him, just so you know, this is not where that's going. And he was like 31. He had two little kids, and he'd been single for about a year, and he was ready. He was ready to get married again. And I said, "Bud, I totally agree with you. It's time. I will pray for a wife for you." And he goes, "Well, I've got a list." And I thought, okay then. So he says, "Yeah, I want a woman who will love my kids as much as she loves me." I'm like, "Yes. And I would like a whole bunch of more kids, so she's got to be fertile." And I'm like, "Yes. And she's got to be really outdoorsy. We camp in the winter, so she's got to be kind of hardy." I'm like, "Okay. And she has to homeschool all of our children. That's very important to me." And I'm like, "Yes." And he said, "One more thing. She's just got to be a virgin." And I'm like, "Oh, for Pete's sake." You know, I forgot I wasn't responsible for answering the prayer. I was only responsible for praying. So I say to him, okay, that's what we're going to pray. And we banged on the gates of heaven for this fella. And today, he's married to a woman who loves him, loves his kids, has had six more kids, loves to camp, is a really hearty kind of a woman, and oh yes, she was a virgin when they got married. This is the power of a big, bold, specific prayer. Provision, protection, guidance, the manifest presence of God, just to be reassured. Jeremiah says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you don't know. Sometimes we just pray for understanding. Have you ever had in a season where you're like, this is just bad, God, I don't get it. I just don't get it. And God says, pray and I will come to you and I will answer your prayers. So, this is a story out of Stark Raving Obedience. This guy wrote a book. He was at our church, and so it comes out of Stark Raving Obedience. And he tells this story about a woman who's driving home from work. I think it's medical that she's in, so maybe a nurse or somebody who's driving home after the second shift, 11, 12 at night. She's driving home in Grand Rapids, and she senses... She doesn't hear an audible voice. She senses that God wants her to go to the 7-Eleven and stand on her head in front of the pop case. Do you know what pop is? Soda pop? And so she kind of like, wow, that was a long shift. I'm hearing things. But it was so persistent. It was so persistent that finally she said, what can be the harm? So she turns the car around and she goes to the 7-Eleven. She parks the car, she walks in, gives a little nod to the clerk, walks over to the case where they keep the soda pop, stands on her head, gets up, straightens her knickers and hair and starts walking out. And the guy who's clerking goes, hey, what was that? She's like, yeah, weird, right? And he goes, no, really, why would you do that? And she says, well, you're not going to believe this, but I'll just tell you. I was on my way home from work tonight, and I just kept thinking that God wanted me to come here and stand on my head in front of the pop case. And I just know better than to argue with them, so I just did it. I'm so sorry, that's so weird, right? And this cat, the clerk, he takes the gun out from under the counter, he puts it on the counter, he puts his hand away so she's not in any danger, and he says to her, tonight I was at the end of my rope, and I said, God, if you're real, I need to know. If you are real, I want you to make somebody come into this store, stand on their head in front of the pop case. Because if you can't do that, then you aren't big enough for me to follow. My life is not worth living, and I am going to kill myself tonight. Big, bold, specific prayer. Sometimes you just gotta know. So what do you need to know? What are you asking God for? What is that big, bold, specific prayer that you are asking for? What is that outcome that can't happen unless God intervenes? What are you banging on the gates of heaven for that you will not stop until you die or he answers? What is that thing that will both embolden your faith and glorify the Lord? Charles Spurgeon says, Lord, he writes to us, your sigh is able to move the heart of Jehovah. Your whisper can incline his ear to you. Your prayer can stay his hand. Your faith can move his arm. Do not think that God sits on high, taking no account of you. Remember that however poor and needy you are, still the Lord thinks of you, considers your prayer. What is that thing that you need tonight? Lord God, we come right into your presence. You know that desire of our heart, that prodigal we're begging to come home, that husband that we're pleading with you to shape up and fly right, that open door for the opportunity or the ministry. God, we're coming to you tonight with our big, bold prayers. If you choose not to answer in our timing, we promise not to create an offense. But we are asking, because when you answer that prayer with a yes, a no, a wait, or a you go first, we want to be ready to proclaim your goodness to a world. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You all